Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Father, I just thank you for who you are and who you created us to be. And I pray right now that every one of us comes into the fullness of who you created us to be, the revelation of who you birthed us to be. I pray right now that our eyes open, our hearts open, our minds open to your plans, your ways, always. And I pray that we recognize the schemes of the enemy and the schemes of our flesh, which tend to cause us to stray. I pray right now that we find the connection in you and we bind ourselves to you in a way where nothing, no matter what comes or what we hear, will shake us from you. Because you're our anchor. You're our everything. You can come in if you want. Enjoy your meal. I ran into somebody in the going to the bathroom, and the guy's like, "What's going on up there?" I said, "It's church. Come on up." He goes, "I might." So I didn't know if that was part of the same group or not. That's what you're going to see, that more and more. People are desperate for the truth. They're wandering like this. And then they're like, "Oh, I hear the sound of God." And we have to be ready for when they come in. And it won't look like your typical church person. The guy I was talking to had a little glass of something in his hand. You know? But I know that's counterfeit. And I know the real God. And once he gets a hold of us, you know, the counterfeit, you just don't want it anymore. And my prayer is that we recognize counterfeit from truth. And oftentimes, you know, we get strayed as we're, you know, because we're all created to know God. And so we're searching for this God, but we don't know him. And sometimes we stumble into New Age, sometimes drugs, alcohol, cults or whatever. And, you know, so then we get a hook in our soul, because that's designed to keep you in bondage, where God, he's designed us to walk in fullness, wholeness, and freedom. And so sometimes people commingle. They, you know, they want God, but they still like the bondage that they're in. And so what I mean by that is they'll continue to soothe the soul with unpleasant things or harmful things, which cause a dulling of the spirit. And so my prayer is to shake us and wake us to what's going on right now in the season of God. Not what the world is saying, because that's all fake. It's not real. It's a substitute of God's best. And God's best, you can't substitute. You know, we're created in his image for his good pleasure and for such a time as this. And so as we build our inner man through fasting, prayer, reading the word, we're growing stronger in who he created us to be through the knowledge of everything that he says through his word. And so the Lord gave me a message tonight through a prayer meeting last night. We are in prayer. We pray all the time. But we were in a meeting last night, and he gave me Ezekiel 34. And so I looked at it on my phone, and because I'm like, "Lord, what do you want me to pray?" And I could pray on 100 different things, but I want to pray what he wants me to pray, because if I do it in his timing, it's the better system. And so I looked at Ezekiel 34, and I was kind of like, yikes, you know. And so I actually put it down and just kept praying. But we talked about it afterwards, at the end of the prayer meeting, and then I was praying today, and the Lord's like, "I want you to talk about this." And so I'm going to do my best to explain some things that he's told me. First, I want to say there is a prophet on every corner. You can listen to any channel on YouTube, and you can hear a word. And I'm going to caution you on the words you're listening to. One of the things that disturbs me is parroting. somebody hears it and then they repeat it, but it's not from the Holy Ghost. Or somebody gets a word, but it's mixed with their emotions and they interpret it as, thus saith the Lord. And so there's a lot of that going on out there. And I try, people send me stuff all the time, and most of the time I don't even open it. For one thing, I would be at my phone all day long. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will prompt me, no, I want you to listen to that. And so I do listen to words, but based on what I've seen, most of them are fake, false words that are designed to scare you or manipulate you. And, you know, so when I hear a word, it has to hit in the spirit, or it's, I don't even receive it. And I'll just back it up to a simpler thing. Have you ever had somebody pray for you and they say, you know, I believe God's saying you're supposed to marry so-and-so, and you're like already married? And so what do you do with a word like that? You know, and so we see a lot of that in the body of Christ, and I'm giving you a simple example, but there's often severe things people say or prophesy where they believe it's the Lord, but they're not tuned into the Holy Spirit. They're tuned into their emotions, and so it causes confusion. If a word brings confusion, it's probably not the Lord. Now, there might be a one sentence that might be the Lord, but then the person adds to it or doesn't deliver the whole thing out of fear or whatever. So, you know, and we're all growing and learning how to hear the voice of the Lord and speak what he says when he says it. And we get many chances and many opportunities. And I myself have gone through that process and still go through that process. Even tonight, you know, sharing this word, he's given me some other stuff. And I'm like, are you sure you want me to share that, Lord? You know, and I because I don't want anybody to stumble. My heart is, I care deeply for everyone in here and anyone that's listening, that you stay true to the Spirit of the living God and that you walk in the blessings without fear or confusion. Because God does not have fear or confusion. Now, he has the fear of the Lord, which is completely different. But in most cases, we have a lot of immature believers who are wanting to be seen of man, so they prophesy something to make them feel better. Not the person they're prophesying to, but the person who's actually prophesying. And you know what? I think that's part of the fallen nature, and we all go through that and grow through that. Meaning, through practice, Lord, is that, you know, did I mess up? Was that all you? And also, when you're prophesying to somebody, you know, I like to say, does that bear witness? Because some of the stuff he gives me to say is so far out there. You know, I remember one time the Lord told me something about some lady's toe, and I'm like, he didn't say any more, just like right toe or something, and I'm like, and? And sometimes if you step out and say right toe, then he'll give you some more about it. But in this case, he just said right toe. And I'm like, does that bear witness to anything? And she's like, no. And I'm like, let me know if it ever does. You know, because I'm not sure if that was the Lord or not, because there was no, that felt like the Lord, but could I have missed it? Absolutely. And so I'm very careful with what the words I share with people when it comes to prophesying. And truthfully, if as you grow in God, you should already know, kind of like have a sense of what he's saying to you. There comes a time when you just start dialoguing back and forth. You know, in my early days, I was desperate to hear from God. And, you know, I heard from him pretty well, but I wanted, like, on this day, you're going to be doing this. And, you know, he just didn't talk to me that way. And I'd go up for a prophecy from somebody, and they'd be so far off. And because I have discerning of spirits, so I can tell when it's a flesh word or a spirit word. And I would be like, wah, you know, and I'd be all mad. And the Lord would be like, why are you even going up there? That's for people who can't hear. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I'm saying all this because there's a lot going on right now in, well, the world. But I have good news. You're not from this place. You are seated high above in heavenly places. You have a chair in heaven with your name on it, and that's where you're supposed to be ruling and reigning from. And I feel like God is asking us to grow in him and start taking responsibility for our growth in him without relying on people to spoon feed us. Now, it's all good to be, you know, to hear and grow in God. But if you become dependent on the word or the preacher or the church instead of him, that's idolatry. And God, you know what God says about idols? He don't like them. So as I've been praying, I'm watching what's going on. You know, I love to pray for, well, I just love to pray. Whatever he puts on my heart, I'll pray. And I'll do whatever he says. And that's been a growing relationship. It didn't happen right off the bat. I started off going, no way, no way, no way. And then I would get beat up by the enemy. Oh, you call yourself a Christian and you can't even do this? And so then I would do it mainly because I didn't want to get beat up. But as I found obedience in him, whenever I walk in his obedience and just do something he tells me to do, there's always a blessing. It may be for me, it may be for somebody else, but he's always blessing his people. And so I think some people got used to just being served a little spoon here and a spoon here, but we're to be meat eaters of the word and meat eaters in the spirit. And I feel like with what is happening in the world, we, you know, I remember saying, I don't know, a couple years ago, there's no middle gray anymore. It's either black or white. You're either in or you're not. And people are like, yeah, I'm in. But I still see compromise, compromise, compromise. And I'm not judging. I'm just saying I had my own compromise that I had to work out, you know, because if we're born a certain way and we do things the certain way, how do we know that's not God's way? We think it is. If our family taught us to do this, but God's word says do this, it's a little bit of a struggle to come out of what you're comfortably doing, even if it's ungodly, and go and trust God and risk and do what he says to do. And so I feel like I'm trying to say this gently because I don't want to sound like I'm a crabby old preacher. But here's the thing. We have to grow up. And we have to start focusing more about his kingdom and what he's doing. Because, you know, there are storms that are coming. And when the storms come, think in the natural. When a storm comes and you're not prepared, you know, there might be some damage. And think about in Matthew when it talks about, you know, the house that's built on the different soil levels. You know, when the storms came, you know, I remember the first big storm that came, my spiritual house got washed away, you know, and I thought I was doing great. I was a greeter. I went to church once a week and never read the word. And I thought I was doing good because I wasn't doing some of those sins I used to do. So see how messed up my thinking was? And so I watched my everything just fall apart. But I made a decision before that happened. When I recognized that God was really real, because I didn't know it at the time. I thought if you die, you might go to heaven. You might have, you know, you might have to pay somebody to get to heaven. I truly didn't know anything about the biblical way. And so when I met Jesus Christ, he rocked me. He like cut right in and all the walls. And just, I just was like, oh my gosh, you're really real. You know, you're real now, not sometime later, maybe. And so because of that, there was, when I met him and had that encounter, the first encounter, I was face to face with everything that was counterfeit in my life, which was everything in my life, because it wasn't built in God. And so, you know, I had built these empires, you know, businesses and houses, and I realized none of it was of the Lord, and it was actually idolatry. And so, you know, he didn't tell me all at one time that, or I probably would have just melted in the chair. And but he wooed me, and that's the God I love. He woos us. He pursues us, and when we start pursuing him, it becomes awesome, you know, because it's a love lifestyle. And, you know, I grew up with not a lot of love in my family. We didn't hug each other. And where I learned to hug was in AA meetings, you know. So then I brought that home to my house, and they thought I was weird, you know, and I was weird, but because it was weird, you know, in our house. But here's what I'm saying. If that's how I was born, to not know, you know, human touch, so to speak, or, you know, you show affection by hug, how am I ever going to, you know, how am I ever going to receive the Father's love? you know, I could get it from the Bible, but that's not, it's not impactful. And so what happened to me is I said, Lord, teach me how to love. I don't even know how to do that. I didn't know nothing. I thought I knew everything. I found out I knew nothing. And so he slowly taught me about emotions. He slowly taught me feelings, and he slowly opened up and healed all the destruction and all the bondage and brokenness in my life. And it didn't happen in a day. It is a lifestyle change, and I wish it would have been a lot faster, and sometimes I get mad when it was too slow, but he never gave up on me, and he always helped me. And so, you know, as I'm saying all this, because I don't want you to think that I got it, because I don't. Every day I call on his grace and his mercy to walk on this earth, and I know that I don't want to do anything without him. I don't want to start a project without him. I don't want to do anything that's not, if he's not with me on it. And he's had to say, hey, you're not doing that. I'd be like, okay. And then I don't do it. And then I pout a little bit, and then I realize he knows best. He knows best. And so that's listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm saying that because we're in a day where we really need to be praying, am I supposed to go there? You know, it could be the movies. It could be church. It could be taking a different route home. See, the enemy, he's seeking to kill and destroy anything that he can. And I'm not saying if you turn wrong, you're going to have a problem, but I do know that the Holy Spirit has saved me more times than I can count when I didn't turn that way and when I did what he told me to do. And we need to start practicing, listening and dialoguing and having relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so I talk to him out loud. I used to just talk to him internally, but I found that I have a better concentration of my thoughts and mind if I just am dialoguing like we're dialoguing right now. And because otherwise I get off track. I forgot, I'm going to go paint that wall, you know. So then I'd say, hey, are we painting the wall? And he'd be, no, we're not, we're having a conversation. I'm like, okay. See, because if you're in a conversation and you walk away, it's hard to forget you're in a conversation. But if it's internal, it's easier for me to just turn my head and get sidetracked or daydream or whatever. And I still daydream and I still turn my head and I get sidetracked. But I found these things have helped me to stay in his presence easier. And so I'm sharing that because I feel like we need to know. And, you know, when we were in worship, the Lord reminded me of one time I was traveling with Edgar and Holly, and don't ask me what state we were in, but a tornado was coming. And we needed to seek shelter in the vehicle. And so we prayed. And we were all praying in tongues and commanding the storm to go the other way or to disperse. And see, we have authority to do that. We need to start exercising our authority over natural, they call it natural weather patterns or whatever. We have authority for overall. And so we parked the car alongside this building, and we prayed and prayed and prayed, and that thing went around us. You know, I remember the first time I heard a story of this. Edgar was doing a tent meeting, and a big tornado was coming his way, and he went outside and commanded that tornado to dissipate or disappear, and it did. And he was doing a big revival meeting. See, we have to start. And another time, we were moving, and this big tornado was coming, and I had movers there, I can't remember, or painters, I can't remember, in Elgin, and they were encouraging the storm to come. And because they were like, look at that storm, that's awesome, oh, look at that, you know, and I realized, wait a minute, they're inviting this thing into our neighborhood. And I said, I command that storm to move and dissipate right now. You will not touch this neighborhood. You will not touch this area. Dissipate in Jesus' name. And it left. And they were like, whoa. And I'm like, yeah, shut up, you know. And so they don't know what they're doing. And oftentimes we don't know what we're doing by what we speak. You know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Choose life. We have authority over everything except for people, okay? And so we're in a day where we're going to be challenged and confronted with demonic events, demonic situations. And I'm not telling you this to scare you. I'm telling you this to start practicing your authority. And don't wait until you need it. Practice tonight. You know, you got a toe ache? Toe, you're healed in the name of Jesus. Your voice has the power of heaven to command healing in your toe. You know, I used to get a little cranky, you know, like when I was injured, and I'd be like, body, knock it off. Inflammation, go in the name of Jesus. You're healed. And I kept speaking. And did it happen overnight? Sometimes it took a little bit of time. But if you don't quit, you'll always win. You'll always win. And so, you know, do you remember when Holly shared was it last year? At the end of the year, when God is sweeping the church? You remember that word? And then we started to see all kinds of stuff, like, get exposed. And it's going to continue. It's going to continue, and it's going to continue. Because God is a house of God that cannot be tainted, and it will not be shared. He will not share his glory with filth. And you can dress a pig up, but it's still a pig. And we see a lot of pigs in the pulpit, so to speak, you know, who are, speaking the name of Jesus, but have no relationship, but they look like they're spiritual. And you know what? Don't look at your neighbor, but could that be your neighbor? You know, a lot of people are faking things because the world is fake. This natural realm is fake. It's counterfeit, it's corrupt, and it teaches corruption and counterfeit. And so I'm not saying don't have a family, don't live to God's fullest. What I'm saying is start to discern the times we're in. As a body of Christ, we've been lulled by lots of deception, lots of distractions, and meanwhile, the enemy has slowly creeped into some places where he just is not supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? And so, okay, I'll just say it. Church, okay? Families, government, libraries, you know, the court systems. The enemy is not supposed to be ruling in those areas. You know, this is, well, I'm not going to do that, okay. I want to, but I won't. The time we're in is very serious. It's a sober time. And because I think one of the easiest plans or targets was the development of the phone. It made things so simple to check out. You know, I am in line, I'm checking out, I'm on my phone. I'm in bed, I'm checked out on my phone. You know, it's easy to get lazy or check out. I'm challenging you to pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Build your spiritual muscles. Build them now so when the winds blow, you can stand against the storm and say, no, it is written, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Does that make sense so far? So, what is happening is there's a collision that's taking place. The enemy, you know, he always overplays his hand. But a lot of people get taken out because they are not shrewd. But those that are shrewd take him out. And what I mean by that is, if there's an attack against your body, fight with the Word of God. If there's attack against your neighborhood, fight with the Word of God. If there's an attack against your family, fight with what the Word of God says. We get used to calling a friend to pray. Oh, Lord, if it be your will, help us. No, take authority. Remember, he says, I give you authority to trample over all the work of the darkness. Behold, I give you authority. And sometimes we're fat and lazy and just don't feel like it. Right? Lord, give me grace to stay strong just for today. Build me up. Build me up. And then pray in tongues, pray in tongues. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, don't leave here tonight without him. You need him in this hour more than ever before. And I can count on my hands how many times I've said that, and I've said it twice in 2 weeks, if that gives you an idea of the times we're in right now. Okay? He's inviting you to gain in relationship and weaponry, to walk in victory. And so, you know, some people say, oh, I used to pray in tongues a long time ago. Well, oil the pump, my friend. Get it going, because now is the season, you know. And so we're seeing exposure. We're seeing the church, you know, there's a sweeping. The Lord is doing. Man's not doing it. The Lord is doing that, because man wouldn't do it. Man allowed compromise, willingly or unwillingly. I don't know, and I don't care. But there's compromise in the church, and the Lord is done with that. you know, he wants a house dedicated to him and not people in platforms and positions. And so we're seeing a lot, and what's happening, I notice when a minister of great exposure is exposed and, you know, called out on it, what I see happening is people either take sides and justify the man, or they split. Now, I'm going to say a couple things about that. I have been through a church split, and it was awful, okay? I've been through divorce. It was awful. To me, they're the same. They're awful, okay? And what happens is, when you go through a church split, I handled it terribly, but as I grew in God, I did my repenting, and I broke my word curses against those people that I was judging because they should be doing it this way, by golly. And so, in my situation, I'm not going to go into the details, but I'll tell you this. God is judging our hearts, how we handle the situation, how we handle the words that come across through the situation, and he's testing our hearts to see if we'll even say, Lord, what do you say about this? And if you're not in the position yet of relationship of, Lord, what do you say about this, you'll probably stumble, because we need to go to the Master. We need to hear the Spirit of Truth. And he might say, I'm not saying nothing. Let it fall. Or he might say, pray, pray, pray. And you just do what he says to do. But what I see happen is people take sides, and damage is done to the sheep, to the flock. Great damage. The church split I was involved with, my sister got saved after 9/11. John, you brought her to the Lord. I remember that. Yeah. And she was ripe for the picking. You know, that tragedy brought her to the Lord. And what happened was she started going to church and learning and growing, and then the church split. And she saw the division, and she said, I want nothing to do with that stuff. To this day, she does not go to church. She's a lost sheep. She's been taken out by the enemy. And so in my case, the Lord wants me to tell you this other story. When I was really involved in a church, I was doing sound, and I was in this back booth, and we'd do the words and all that stuff, and I was working with this girl, and I was going through a divorce, and I had confided in her something which I thought would help her marriage, because she was having a troubled marriage too. She used that against me and told my husband the words I told her, and then he brought it back to me, and I was like, whoa, you know, because it was a little twisted. Not much, but enough, and I was just shocked that she said something. I had to work next to her as close as this podium, and I kept saying, Lord, I'm not going back. Can I quit? And he'd say, no, you go, you go. I'm like, Lord. It was to the point where when we went through the divorce, we were both going to church, and they did not want us to talk about it with anybody because they didn't want groups forming. I get that. But the way they handled it was kind of weird, and I wasn't allowed to talk to anybody in the church, and except for one person, like an elder's wife or something, and she was a gossip, so I wouldn't talk to her. And so I'm working next to this lady, and I'm like, Lord, do I have to go to church? He's like, yes, yes, yes. I had to continue on in that church. I didn't want to go. Nobody's talking to me, but he made me go, and I did what he told me to do. And then the day came when he said, okay, you're done here. I left. But I blessed that girl. She apologized, and I blessed her and said, I really had no hard feelings. Once God worked it out in me, see, you can hold a grudge, or you can go to God and get healed. I'm going to God and getting healed. Grudges cause division, and I'm not into division. And so that's why I don't fight. I'm not a fighter. I don't care. You know, I used to be a fighter. I mean, I'd take you down if you needed to come down. And, I mean, I've been in some brawls, let me just tell you. But today, I'm like, what's the point? What is the point? So I never argue with people because it's pointless. They're all riled up, and you know what? We'll talk. We'll come reason together, maybe. But I'm going to be seeing what the Holy Spirit's saying first. And so I'm saying that because I'm sharing some of the weird stuff that's happened to me in my life before I read you part of Ezekiel 34. So, because I feel like we're in a time and a season where we really need to pray about everything. I mean, we need to be praying. First of all, let's remember who our source is, okay? Who's our source? Huh?
The Lord.
Okay, boy, that's kind of lame and weak. The Lord's my source. The Lord is our source. You know, he really is. I'm excited. When I think about my source, I get all gooey on the inside because he's good. You know, he's blessed me abundantly. But it didn't happen overnight. I had to learn how to lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge him. And he made my path straight. Anytime I leaned on my own understanding, it was mushy and a mess. I called that plan B. And he said, there is no plan B. There's no plan B. I'm like, okay. So he had to help me learn to trust him and to learn the walk of the Spirit because it's different than the walk of the flesh. In fact, it's completely different. Love your enemy. Hit your enemy. Love your enemy. Work of the flesh. No. That's a work of the Spirit. Your flesh is incapable of loving anybody. Truly. Not the way God loves. So I say all that because we're in a season where there's turbulence, there's waves, there's warnings. Don't get scared by them. Rejoice in the goodness of God. Start to learn how to lean into him and let him show you the way of peace and the path of righteousness. And I say that because if you travel or if you're doing stuff, pray ahead. Am I supposed to go, Lord? Because there will be areas that do take some damage. There's going to be some hits in America. And I want to be right in the center of his will. I want to go on a rafting trip. Did I check in and ask him? No. You know, so there's a possibility of an open door, so to speak. And so I like to stay under the umbrella, Psalm 91, in his presence. And if I don't know and I'm not sure, I wait. Because I wait for peace to come, peace to give me wisdom, you know, because I'll be like, I got a decision, I don't know what to do. And if I'm trying to make it and I can't make it, if I don't have peace while I'm making it and he's not telling me clearly, I wait. And then all of a sudden, boom, there it is. He'll say it like 5 days later, do this. I'm like, oh, thank you, okay. And then I do it. If it's urgent, it's probably the flesh. Okay? I was making an urgent decision today and it was totally the flesh. It didn't turn out good. Somebody said, hey, what's the hurry? See, God was using that person to say, what's the hurry? I'm like, you're right. See, sometimes we get caught up in it. We don't even know we're caught up in it. So I'm saying all this because, we see it all over the place. We minister in a lot of places, and we have a lot of leadership friends, and, you know, pretty much everybody's getting the same thing. You know, something's up, something's coming. And it isn't just like God not to let you know what it is because he's God. You know, he doesn't want us figuring it out ahead of time so that we stockpile or don't stockpile or do this or build or tear or whatever. He wants us to rely on him because he's our source. It's not going to be the toilet paper. It's not going to be the Bitcoin. It's not going to be the storm cellar. He's our source. In him, we move and have our being. And here's the thing. If something did happen, we've read testimonies of this. We know people, you know, where some guy picked up a hitchhiker and they tried to kill him and the bullet, like, it kept bouncing off him. If you're truly in God, see, this is the time for miracles. We need to start believing God for his miracles. We need to start believing for more. We have to come out of the mush, mashed potato and gravy church. We need to go into the beans and the peas and the spinach and broccoli church where we're eating, praying in tongues, and tending to him. Because when we tend to him, you reap what you sow. He tends to you. And so, you know, there's been times I'll just think something, and boom, there it is. I made a stupid comment, which was kind of funny the other day. Well, I should do it. Here it is. I wasn't even believing for it, but God's like, oh, she wants that. Here you go. You know, weird stuff like that happens all the time because he's always taking care of us, our needs. Now, he watches how we do, And he watches how we steward what he gives us. And I'm not just talking finances. I'm talking every area. And I'm working on a few areas right now with him that I didn't do so good. I kind of had a little, you know, what do you call that? Backsliding, you know? And so, you know, I got a little lazy or a little casual in some of my with God. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I'm back in strong, you know? And I feel like this is a time where if you're lazy or slumbery or sleeping in church, first of all, why are you going? And second of all, you know, is that where you're supposed to be? Or should you just be fasting and praying at home, building yourself up? I don't know. I'm just saying. Or is it a demon that's kind of got a slumber over you? Who knows? I'm not looking. So I'm going to read you Ezekiel 34. And I just, because I feel like this, there's a purpose to Ezekiel 34 and what's going on now. It ties perfectly in from what I'm seeing and asking him. You know, this is a year that there's, you know, well, boy, do I want to say that? Oh, yes, I do. Okay. 3 years and 9 months ago, I, a little over that, got an email from the White House. I know that sounds funny, but it was an email, and it was the inauguration speech from our president. And I would have just trashed it. And the Lord's like, I want you to read that. And I read that, and he had me correct, you know, because there was a bunch of propaganda and lies in there. And some of you probably remember this on the Wednesday night I read it, because I wasn't going to read it. I had no intentions of reading it. And what happened was he made me print it off and write in red his truth in those places. And I did. And so I was like speaking a declaration into the earth, you know, by a voice, you know, because he told me to. And I just thought that's it. I do a lot of stuff like that that I never think I'll share with anybody because he tells me to do it. Well, then he's like, I want you to read it. And so I did. And we read it as a group, kind of. And it was kind of sobering, if I remember right, because it was, you could feel God's presence on there. There was like some holy fear on there. And I was like, okay, whatever. And, you know, one of the things that the Lord has said about this, he reminded me of that tonight, and I'm saying this. If we grumble and complain, we're going to eat quail, and it's going to be shoved down our throats. Don't fall into grumbling. Try, if you're a grumbler, it's always going to be this way. Well, who cares? The world's blah, blah, blah. No, that you're going to be stuffed with whatever the earth is going to feed you, and it's going to be so much, you're going to bust. And so what I mean by that is we have the ability as God's chosen servants to rule and reign and decree on earth what he's speaking from heaven. And when we do that, we always see the victory, always. And the America, church, you know, there's been a lot of propaganda and a lot of taking away of God's desires. And you know, well, they didn't affect me. Well, they are now. You know, they are now. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm just saying we are in a season where we really need to be praying and seeking what he says without our emotions, without what people are saying, and seek him and do what he says to do. And so when I read this Ezekiel 34 to you, which I'm going to do now, you know, I hate to see damage to people. I hate to see calamity. I hate to see disasters. But sometimes you reap what you sow, you know. And if you're believing for that, you're going to get that. And I'm not saying that happens all the time, but I'd rather reap God's blessings and speak God's blessings, and then that's the camp I'm staying in. You know, and if something tries to hit me, hey, if they, first of all, they can't take me out because it's not time yet. I haven't finished my course. You know, the enemy tried to take me out and I almost came into agreement. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I'm going to stand in front of the Father and he's going to say, you're early. He won't be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'd be like, oh, you know. And so I had a change. I had to break a lot of words because I'm like, it's better at home. Why, you know, who cares? No. I'm here for one purpose, and that purpose is to please my Father and speak what he says. Anything else, I don't care about, truthfully. And so, and that takes a lot to let go of family, friends, possessions. You know, that doesn't happen overnight, and I'm not saying that's what you're supposed to do. I know what my call is. I know what my call is. And so what I'm saying that because you don't want to get taken out prematurely by disobedience or busyness or whatever. And if the enemy came to me now, he can't take me out. I know he can't take me out. And I believe those bullets would fall to the ground. I'm not that I'm going to get shot, but I believe that tree limb will be caught by an angel. I mean, I can't tell you how many times stuff like that's tried to take me out, and angels saved me. And so I thank him for that. And I'm just saying that we need to kind of tighten up the realm or the helm or whatever it is. But here we go. I'm going to try and find this. I liked it on my phone the best. And I think this is New Living Testament. So this, I'm just going to read the beginning of Ezekiel 34. The shepherds of Israel. Then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. What sorrow awaits you shepherds who feed yourselves instead of your flocks? Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You drink the milk, wear the wool, and butcher the best animals, but you let your flocks starve. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with harshness and cruelty. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd, and they are easy prey for any wild animal. They have wandered through all the mountains and all the hills across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them. I'm going to stop right there. So what? Basically, God's sweeping the churches right now. This is like Old Testament, I'm sweeping the churches, so to speak. And so when you start to see exposure, it's God always gives opportunity for repent and to turn from your wickedness. And he does it face-to-face first. Then he does it, he'll send somebody. Then he does it publicly. And so anytime there is somebody who falls, it's like a reminder. Lord, if there's any evilness or wickedness in my heart, show me, please. I don't want to bring reproach on your name. I don't want to do that. You know, examine me. Let me know. And that should be our prayer. Not that we're, you know, the shepherds, but I'm talking my personal life with Jesus Christ. I don't want anybody to stumble. And so I just want to say that. And then, so we're seeing a sweeping because there's so many sheep that are scattered. And the part that really, you know, they're getting fat, meaning, you know, they're living off the flesh and not the spirit. They've compromised. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended to the sick or bound up the injured. You've not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. When I read this, I'm like, Lord, if there's any sheep that have wandered away, bring them to my remembrance. And I reached out to somebody tonight, you know, and I prayed that yesterday. And today he reminds me, you know. And so I reached out to somebody that used to come here, and I haven't seen her in a long time. And there's one other person in here that when I saw you come in tonight, I squeezed your shoulder because I was glad to see you because you were next on my text. So I'm not looking up at you. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd, and they are easy prey for any wild animals. They're easily taken into captivity. They're easily taken into sexual bondage, addiction, slavery, abuse. They have wandered through, now this one bothers me, they have wandered through all the mountains and all the hills. So they didn't just wander a little, they're wandering because they're lost sheep. They're like, you know, I met God, I thought that was God, are you over here, God? Are you over here, God? And then they get tired and wore out or taken captive, and then they're a POW. Yet no one has gone to search for them. Therefore you, shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you abandoned my flock and left them to be attacked by every wild animal. And though you were my shepherds, you didn't search for my sheep when they were lost. You took care of yourselves and left the sheep to starve. I'm thinking church split right now. Therefore you, shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I now consider these shepherds my enemies. and I will hold them responsible for what has happened to my flock. I will take away their right to feed the flock, and I will stop them from feeding themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. The sheep will no longer be their prey. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to their own land of Israel, for among the peoples and nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all the places where people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture land on high hills. Now, you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about the least will be first in the kingdom. Come to the table. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak, but I will destroy those who are fat and powerful. I will feed them, yes, feed them justice. He's also going to judge between one animal of the flock and another, separating the sheep from the goats. There's a lot of goats that sit in our churches, and we're dull to that. And they're sent in by the enemy to cause division and destruction, and they often use witchcraft. And they look and pray, and then pray like the bad kind, like pray on you. And so that's all I'm going to read for now, but I just want to say there's a lot of lost sheep out there. And with where the condition of humanity is, Jesus, when he comes, I mean, we're all going to bow to the knee of Jesus Christ, and we're going to say he's Lord. But before that happens, there's going to be some great turmoil and darkness, and it's not him doing it. It's what has happened, what we've allowed, and because of that, the enemy will have some time to cause destruction. Now, I'm praying that I stay and do what the Lord says and the destruction won't hurt me. I hate to see anybody have calamity, but here's what's going to happen. When calamity hits, they're going to be given an opportunity because they're going to recognize great darkness is upon them and Jesus Christ, the light of Jesus Christ is shining here because we're all born with a desire to know him. Through all the bondage and all the brokenness inside us, we all, there's that, they call it a hole, there is a place. It's his DNA inside of us. And he wants, it'll be an easy choice, darkness or light. I've watched people pass over into paradise. And if they know Jesus, there's angelic activity and there's supernatural stuff happening. If they don't know Jesus, there's torment and there's darkness. And it's not, they don't like to go. They leave, you know, screaming and you know, trying not to go. And that's what's going to happen on the earth for a season to bring righteousness back into the land, you know, because it's so perverse, you know. And I keep thinking about, you know, Noah and the ark. You know, people were just, you know, God told Noah, build the ark. You know, he's going to destroy the land, and he's not going to do that now. But I think about the people just going along, doing what they thought they were going to do. I'm going to Starbucks. I'm going to McDonald's. And they don't have their lamp full. They're not even aware of a lamp because they're lost sheep from generations of lost sheep. And there's going to be a restoration and a coming together where we choose Jesus Christ or we choose the enemy. And great, great, great grace will be upon us for this decision because God loves his kids so much. He loves everyone. He loves anyone that is birthed. Even if they look weird or strange, he loves them because guess what? They're really created in his image. It's just you're judging it by the flesh and some of their mannerisms. Now, there are wicked people that have chosen to be wicked and serve the devil. That's, you know, we see that in the Bible. So that's factual. But I believe with the tornado that's coming, the storm that's coming, whatever it's going to look like in the natural, it's going to bring great victory, great glory, great oneness with God, and it's also going to bring chaos and calamity for those that don't know him. Does that make sense? I'm just saying. And so I really believe that everybody in here is handpicked for this time in your life, because God's equipping you to rule and reign and take authority and bring back the glory of God and the holiness of God, and we're temples of his pureness and love. And so that's what I had to say tonight.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from Spirit of God Worldwide.com.